So today I'm talking about finding joy in pressing forward. And when we think about our lives and kind of like the routines we get stuck in, and you know, there's, I don't know how many of you go through kind of a week that's kind of just a blur, right? It's like you did this and you did, it's like you got your things you do every day, especially if you work a Monday through a Friday. It's like by the time it gets to Friday afternoon, you're like, where did the week go? What happened? I got these things I didn't get done. And sometimes that causes us to kind of get stuck in this rut, right? And even spiritually, it causes us to get stuck in a rut because we get to this point where it's like we're just going through the motions. We're just doing the things that we know that we need to do. I'm going to tell you, there's times that I'm guilty of that in ministry. There's times where I do the things that I know I need to do, the things that are kind of on my list, and I kind of forget to stop and think, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do, right? And I'm just trying to get my checklist done, and I don't even stop to even ask what God might want me to do. Sounds kind of ridiculous for somebody that's job is to minister, right? But I'm just saying, I know what you're talking about. I know where you're at because I deal with the same thing. But we kind of can get in this place where it's like, I know that I'm saved, right? I know that I'm born again, that I've been redeemed. So I just kind of go about my life, and whatever God does, he does. And whatever he doesn't do, then I'll probably complain about that. But we kind of can get stuck in this rut. We come to church, we pray when we have to. We read the scripture when we happen to see it, you know, on a post on Facebook or some kind of sign. We love Jesus. There's no doubt about that, but honestly, Christianity maybe has gotten a little blah, right? It's gotten just a little normal, just a little average. It's not that it's bad, but it's not amazing either. It's just kind of there. It's part of who we are and what we're doing. We've got to remember that there is a real spiritual battle going on that we cannot see, right? We've got to remember that. Bud, can I get you to turn the lights up back there? But we got to remember there's this spiritual battle. We've got to remember that there, now hear me out, there really are angels and demons that are warring in the heavens. Okay, this is a real thing. Okay, now I'm not going to get too far off on that, but I'm just going to tell you that it's real. It's real that there's angels and demons that are warring in the heavens. And I want to let you know that some of them are battling over you. Okay, they really are. When we think about this and we think about the fact that there's this war in the heavens, you know, there's some demons that are coming at you full force. Their whole job is to make you fail, to get you to crumble, to get you to bow before them. And the thing is, we often think about big attacks, right? This we recognize attacks from the enemy sometimes, a sickness, a disease, something big emotional that happens. But what we really miss is that sometimes what they are doing in our lives is really not that big. It's not that noticeable, but what they really, all they need to do is get us to be comfortable. All they need to do is just get you to be comfortable, get you to be complacent, get you to just be a little satisfied with where you're at. Like, man, I'm there, right? I am there. I'm good with this. And one of my favorite books in the world is The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. I think I've referenced this a few times because, honestly, it's just one of the few books that I just, you know, I love. But in this novel, it's 31 letters from Screwtape, who is, he's the uncle demon, letters from him to his nephew Wormwood. And these letters are about Wormwood. He's assigned to this man. And so his job is to afflict this man. And what I love about that book is when you read it, C.S. Lewis never actually revealed where he got these letters. You know, I mean, he never revealed the how he got these, how God showed him these things. But when you read this book, it really opens your eyes to the supernatural things that can be going on around you. But Wormwood was basically in charge of afflicting this man. And the thing that hit me the hardest that I still remember, I can almost picture it on the page, was whenever Wormwood had reported back that this man, his man, was in this church. He was going to church faithfully. And it was this kind of boring, lukewarm, going through the motions kind of church where, yeah, they showed up and they did communion. They took an offering. They sang some songs. They heard a message. They said some prayers. They went home. And he was just kind of comfortable there. He was kind of complacent there. He wasn't really doing a whole lot, but Wormwood's kind of concerned that the guy goes to church every week. And Screwtape's like, dude, we've got him exactly where we want him. You hear that? He went to church every week. And the demon said, we've got him exactly where we want him because he's complacent. He's comfortable. He's not pressing forward. Guys, he's just cool right where he's at. He's good. And that's perfect for us. When we think about this, he preferred that the man go to church over not go to church because he was comfortable, complacent, and not pressing forward. Church, this is a real issue, a real struggle for Christians. And it's a big deal. Okay, we've got to be pressing forward. We've got to be moving forward in Christ. We've got to be progressing in our faith. Otherwise, we get comfortable, complacent. Not some people are sitting in the back are amazing people, but we start to sit a little further back, a little further back, a little further back. I've seen it, guys, and some of you have seen it too. People that used to sit in the second row now sit in the fourth and then the sixth and the eighth, and now they don't come. Right? It's like you see that. And what happens, you can look at all those people and you can see they got complacent. They got too comfortable. Church was just another thing on the list. And when it's another thing on the list and you start to get busy, well, sometimes you got to miss, right? Because you got this and you got that. I'm just saying, we got a battle here. We've got to be pushing forward. Philippians 3, verse 12 through 16. Paul says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Recently, we've looked at the finding joy in loss and gains, right? Losing all that we have for the gain of Christ, and how Paul compared those things, and he looked at it as accounting terms because it is a transaction that has taken place, that Jesus gave everything for you, and in turn he asked that you would give everything for him. There's no greater prize in life. We looked at the fact that there's no higher role, no higher calling than a child of God. We also looked at the power of his resurrection. Right? The same spirit that dwells within us. Can I tell you with all honesty that I don't know every person's spiritual state, but I can guarantee, it's a certainty, that you have not experienced all there is to experience in God. You have not attained it, right? You have not apprehended it yet. There's still more, right? There's still more. Do you know that while you may have heard some amazing things, some of you have heard amazing things in your life, maybe you've seen miraculous things happen in your life, it doesn't matter what you've seen, what you've heard, I'm telling you that I guarantee that there is more. No matter what God's done in you and what he's done through you, there is always more. We talk about having victory in Jesus, right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for victory in Jesus. We talk about the fact that we are more than overcomers, right? We are more than conquerors in him. He said that he came to give life and give life more abundant. This means to the full. Who wants a full life, right? The whole thing, everything that there is to offer. If you want that, you have to press forward or you will never get it. That's a certainty. You will never get it. You've got to press forward. He said, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. You have to love this about Paul. Paul, as he writes his letters, he uses his own personal challenges in his letters. We know a lot about Paul. We know a lot about what he's been through. We know a lot about his struggles, right? He puts it all out there. He doesn't really hide anything or keep anything back as he writes these letters. And he reminds us that even though you may struggle with some stuff, so do I, right? I mean, you imagine in that day when they would get this letter from Paul that was transported by some guy on a donkey that they may have sent to him. They get this letter and it's like, wow, Paul's a man. Right, Paul struggles with things just like we do, but Paul always leads it to hope and encouragement. And you may deal with these things, but let's see what God has to say. Let's see what God can do. And I love that this guy right here, who probably most people think has everything all figured out, and they get this letter and they're like, Paul's a guy just like us, right? He's dealing with things just like we are. Here, Paul shows that he's not satisfied with his spiritual accomplishments. And he has, again, a pretty good list. Just like we looked at, he had a pretty good list of things, of titles and positions. He also has a pretty good list of spiritual accomplishments that he doesn't list for us. But he says, I'm not satisfied with those because there's more to be had. He says, I have not arrived yet. I haven't arrived. I'm not there. And he says, I'm not perfect. And that means made complete. He's like, I'm not made complete, right? I've got room to grow. I've got progress that needs to be made. He says, so I'm pressing forward. Because I haven't gotten there yet, I'm pressing forward. You know, there's a lot of times we get in the church and we get to a certain point and it's like, I'm there, right? This is what I was looking for. I'm there. No, there's more. You've got to press forward. There's more to attain, but you've got to fight for it, right? You've got to fight for it. What we've got to always come back to is Jesus already won the victory and he's already given us all of it. However, there are dark forces that are trying to prevent us from getting there. That's why we have to battle for it. You're not battling God for it. He's already said, here, my child, all I have is yours. Every bit of it. I've given you the rights to the throne, right? I've given you a spiritual inheritance that is immeasurable. It's all yours. But you've got to fight for it because there's people trying to prevent you from getting to it. There's demonic forces trying to prevent you from getting to it. We've got to press forward. So think about this today. And you need to be honest with yourself. Are you satisfied with your spiritual walk? Are you good where you're at? Are you satisfied with it? Can you think, man, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty comfortable because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people in a lot of churches that are very comfortable and perfectly fine staying exactly where they're at. They are. There's a lot of people that are perfectly fine staying right where they are at. Now, don't think about where you once were. Think about where you're at right now. You know, because a lot of us, we can look back to where we once were and like, man, those were some good times, right? And because I've experienced that, we think that we're still hanging on to that. You know what? We may have dropped that. We might have dropped that a year or two ago when we got our hands too full with other things. I'm not saying look back to the glory days. I'm saying look at where you're at right here today, right now. Are you happy? Are you satisfied? Are you fulfilled in your spiritual walk? Are you pleased with it? So many get saved, get excited, see amazing things happen. Everything is new, everything is fun, until it's not. Right? Life happens. Stuff happens. Difficulty comes. We get busy. We get a little bit unhappy. And next thing you know, we're complacent. We're going through the motions. We're showing up when we can. We're just checking the box, making sure we're just here enough to where people don't come looking for us, right? You don't want that. You don't want people coming to your house looking for you. So I'll show up every 2 or 3 weeks just to make sure they know I'm still alive and they don't bug me too much. Just happy to be saved. That's good for me. I'm good with that. I'm just happy to be saved. I know I've got that. This happens, right? because the honeymoon has to end sometime. Okay? We see the exact same thing in marriages, right? In marriages, you see young people get married and everything is glorious until the honeymoon's over, right? Until the honeymoon phase is over, not just the weekend or week getaway. I'm talking about that phase. It gets over, and what happens? They get a little busy. They get a little friction. They get a little bit of butting heads that, you know what? This and this and this, all these things start to come up. And we see when they get married and they start to lose that spark and lose that passion, what do they need to do? They've got to press forward. They've got to continue to contend and to fight for their marriage. They have to. Everybody has to do this. This isn't like for only certain people. We all have to do this. You can't just be satisfied knowing that I've got them, right? I mean, how many marriages have ended because I finally got them, right? I got them nailed down. I got a ring on the finger. I got the paper signed. And now I can go to just doing whatever I want because they have no escape, right? I mean, this happens all the time. We've got to continue to pursue them. We've got to continue to give them our all, our best effort, our full attention. We've got to keep working at it to keep it going strong, right? You should never be just satisfied in your marriage. Just like, I'm good with the way it is. You should never be satisfied with the way it is. You should always want what's best for your husband and wife. And I'll tell you what that is. That's for you to be a better husband or a better wife. Always, continually. You have not attained it. You have not arrived yet. You have not gotten there because you're not perfect. So work on your part. Anytime I've ever done marriage counseling, this is what it always is. It's always each person pointing at the other person. I always try to isolate it and say, what can you do? Well, if she would, no, what can you do? No, well, if she, no. And people don't get it oftentimes. But it's always look at us. What can we do? How can we make this better? How can we show them unconditional love and bless their socks off, right? How can we make our spouse feel like a king or a queen every day of their life? When we've gotten there, we've probably fully attained, right? Okay, you're probably not going to get there. Keep striving. Keep pushing forward. And in a similar manner, we should never be satisfied with only being saved. It's like being satisfied with just being married. You can't just be satisfied with being saved. You know what? Because it's not just you get saved and boom, you go to heaven. You still got a life to live, people. So how could you just be satisfied with being saved? It's got to be more than that. Can we just be cool with knowing Jesus and going to church? Right? There's so much more than that to our faith. Don't be satisfied. Grab all that you can. Have you ever seen on TV, I've seen this in a few different movies. I assume it's a real thing, but those wind machines where they put somebody in it and there's money like just flying all over the place. Have you ever seen that? They have those wind machines at the mall sometimes. They don't have money in them. You have to put money in it. But they have the wind machine with the money flying all over, and people are in there just like, you can have everything that you can grab in whatever amount of time it is, 30 or 60 seconds. If you can grab it, you can have it. Man, those people go crazy, right? Wouldn't you? I mean, trying to grab every bill that you can possibly grab, everything you can get in 30 seconds or 60 seconds. You stand there and grab all that you can. Have you ever seen someone just grab one or two bills and then just stand there and let the time run out? I mean, would you grab one or two bills and then just stand there with all that money flying all around and just let the clock tick down? No way. You'd be like, what else can I grab? And when your hands start to get full, you'd be putting it in your mouth, maybe. Depends on what your view about money. Maybe it's new money. You'd be putting it in however you could get it, your armpits, however you could hold it, whatever it took for you to obtain more and more and more, you would do it. These people grab it like they're crazy, like they are insane. And you know what? I want to tell you that they don't keep looking at the clock to see how much time they have left. They don't want to waste a second. They want to grab every bit that they can until that timer goes out. They don't even know how much is left. They just grab until the money stops flying around. Do you know that in Jesus, we have every spiritual blessing? Say every. Okay, I'm talking about there's not a spiritual blessing that you don't have access to. If it's there, if it exists, if it's a blessing, Jesus has provided it. And he says, you, as child of God, you have access to it. You have victory, right? You have healing. You have restoration. You have provision. You don't have any lack in him, right? It's all provided for you. It's all there. It's because it's like being in that money machine, like having all these things just flying around us. And Jesus says, you can have every bit of it that you can grab hold of. You reach out and you grab it. And you know what? You grab another and you grab another. As long as you will keep reaching out and you will keep grabbing until time runs out, you can have all that you can grab. Now, why don't we go crazy after that like we would for that money in that money machine? Why wouldn't we grab all that we can have and just put it in our pockets, put it in our armpits, whatever we got to do to just grab everything that we can possibly get until time runs out? See, you don't have time to look at the clock. You don't know when time runs out, right? You don't know how many more minutes, how many days, how many more years that you get. So you got to grab everything that you can grab right here, right now. You've got to press forward. You've got to go for it. You've got to get it. All that you can grab hold of, it's all there. It's all available. It's all around you. Reach out and grab hold. Don't worry about the timer. Get all you can get right now. Get it today. Don't wait. Paul says, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I don't have it all. I haven't seized it. I haven't caught it. And I'm not perfect. I've not been made complete, but I press on. I press on. This Greek word here for press on is dioko. It means like a sprinter. It means like a sprinter would run with aggressive and energetic action, right? I mean, when you see a sprinter sprint, they are given every single ounce of energy that they have for that sprint, right? They are in it to win it, right? They are given it all. They're pressing forward with everything that they've got. And Paul says that as they do, where they are aggressive and they're pursuing with all that they have, like someone in a race, pushing all that they have, all their muscles to the limits, right? You're pushing muscles to the limit when you're given all that you physically have. And Paul says, like that, we should pursue sanctification. This process of becoming like Christ, this process of the Holy Spirit working in our life to mold us and shape us to the image of Christ. He says, become more like Christ, laying hold of all he has for you, like he has laid hold of you. You catch that? Lay hold of all that he has for you like he laid hold of you. Man, he gave it all. He didn't leave anything on the table. He gave it all at the cross. Everything that he had to lay hold of you, to get a hold of you. He came to you, gave it all so he could grab a hold of you. And Paul says in that same way, with that same aggressive, energetic action, go after him with all that you can go after him with. He says, win that prize. Win that prize, right? Are you pressing on? Are you pressing on today? He says that mature believers, right, we should honestly evaluate ourselves and strive to do better every day. Every single day. We should never be satisfied. I've been in that place where I'm good with where I'm at in my walk. Like, man, things are really good. I'm doing well. God's blessing me. You know what? Why would I be comfortable there? He's got more. It's every spiritual blessing. I don't want to stay here, even if it's great, even if it's good. You should always be looking to press on and get more, right? This is not one of those times where, like, well, I shouldn't be selfish, right? You're not taken from somebody else. He's got all the same spiritual blessings available to them too. He doesn't run out. You don't need to like be the nice person and, well, I'll let Donald have some, right? So I don't want to take all of it. I want to make sure that he can have some. Man, God says you grab hold of all that you can get, right? You don't worry about someone else because you know what? They might be the kind of person that gets in the machine and grabs two bills and is like, I just needed lunch today. Right? And I'm the kind of person that I'm like, are you kidding me? The timer ran out? Like, money like this? Grab hold of all that you can get. Every bit of it. Win that prize. Verse 13, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I haven't arrived, but he says, but there's one thing I do. There's one thing that is important here. If you're going to forget everything else, remember this thing. This is what's important. He says, of all the things you can do, do this, because it's the priority. It is the top of the list. It's where your focus should be. He says, forget what is behind and reach for what is ahead. Forget what's behind. Reach for what is ahead. Forget what's behind. And there's some really good stuff back there, right? I've been through some really great experiences in my life. I don't want to forget all those things. I like to cling to those when I'm having a bad day. That's what I turn to. He says, forget those things. Now, when he says to forget those things, we need to remember that this is good and bad. We need to forget those things. It's not zapping your memory of them. It's not the memory eraser. It's just that we don't focus on those things. It can literally be translated that I don't care for those things anymore. It's not that I forget about them. It's just they're not what consumes my attention. They're not the things that I turn to for comfort, because I'm turning to what's ahead. What's ahead? Well, I hope Jesus, for one, right? Here's the deal. Bad things from our past, right? If we've given our life to Jesus, all the bad things from our past that we continue to remember, that continue to come up, if we've given our life to Jesus and we've been born again, they are forgiven. Right? It's done. That's part of it is finished. That they are forgiven, wiped clean. It's a done deal. It's been taken care of. You are free from it all. New creation in Christ Jesus. Not new creation with your old baggage, right? New creation, new identity. Says that you are new and you are not condemned. You do not walk under guilt and shame for the past because it's forgiven. Receive that forgiveness. That's on us. Receive the forgiveness that he offers. Stop looking back and look forward. But what about the good things from the past? You know, the good things from the past are good. Praise God for what he's done. Don't forget him in that sense. We want to continue to praise. Look, this is what God has done. But I'll tell you what, he's going to do more. I mean, if you're still hanging on to the thing he did in 1984, like, what's he done in between? Surely he's done something. Maybe you've been so busy looking back that you've missed what he's done right in front of you. Praise God for what he's already done, but can I tell you that he's just getting started? You may have been a Christian for 40 years, and I still can say to you today that God is just getting started. With what he's going to do in your life, with what he's capable of doing in your life, if you'll allow him, he's just getting started. Man, there is so much more. I don't know about you, but wherever perfection is, I'm pretty far away. So there's a lot of room to go, okay? If you put my life on a timeline, my spiritual progression, I mean, praise God that he's the one that gets to determine the end, because I'm thinking, dude, I'll never get there, right? That's a long gap on that timeline. Praise God for what he's done. But he's just getting started. Something that annoys me when I watch baseball games is sometimes they'll show a replay that just happened and they take too long and you miss the next pitch. That ever happen to anybody? It really annoys me. I mean, I'm watching the replay. I'm like, I already saw that. And yes, it's a good play. But I'm getting ready to miss the next pitch. You better hurry. This is all going through your mind in about, you know, 2 seconds. And you're starting to freak out a little bit. That next pitch might be a home run. Right? That play might have been a good defensive play. But this next pitch could be a home run. And sure, it's good to be looking back on something great that's already happened, but not if it's going to cost you from seeing the amazing things that are happening right in front of you, right here, right now. It's going to prevent you to see something that's awesome that's coming. Don't be looking back. Stop looking back. Press forward. You ever seen someone running in a race and looking back? No, because that's not what their goal is. My goal is ahead. I can see my goal in front of me. I mean, unless you're doing a backwards race. I can see the goal in front of me. I'm running, I'm pursuing, I'm pressing forward to the goal to get to where I need to go. I'm not worried about everybody else. If I'm given everything I've got, if I win, I win, and if somebody else beats me, then they beat me. Right? By looking back, I can't slow them down. It slows me down. You got to look forward. You've got to press on. You've got to keep going with everything that you've got because the goal is ahead. It says in verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This goal, I press toward this goal. This goal that he's talking about is being Christ-like right here and right now. That's the goal he's talking about. I press toward the goal. Why does he press toward this goal? It's like the runner when he is running that race. If you watch the Olympics where, I mean, I don't talk about like if Channing and Katie are going to race after church, right? I mean, we will watch that, but I mean, we're not going to have like a full finish line. But when you're watching a race where they got the tape stretched across so they know who actually got first because he breaks through first, and you're watching that race, and is that guy that's in the lead is going, right? As he gets to that finish line, what do? Right? They are like, whatever energy they got at the end, they are trying to burst through that tape, through that line. They want to get there and throw themselves across. And Paul's saying with that kind of spiritual drive, we ought to be throwing ourselves across that finish line toward that prize. You know what? The complacent Christian, the one that's comfortable where he's at, dude, he's looking for a ride to the finish line, right? Can somebody pick me up? Can I get on the back of your bike? Do you got pegs, right? Can I jump on your bike? No, it's like Paul says we should be pressing forward. We should be throwing ourselves through that finish line because all the way until the end, we're giving it every single thing that we've got. All of it, leaving nothing out there. No regrets. You want to have no regrets? Give everything you've got. Right? I'm talking about chasing Jesus. There's a lot of other things we can give everything we got to, and we can have a mountain of regrets. When it comes to pursuing Jesus, you'll never regret it. Guaranteed. Push toward this goal. We got to remember to use every muscle, though. Colossians 1:29 said, to this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Right? It's his power working in us mightily. Say mightily. Right? This is no weak power. Right? It's God's power. It's the power, resurrection power. Power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And it's a mighty power. It's not a weak muscle. It's not something that's just there, but it's the strongest part, and it's the part we've got to continuously rely on. And that will work out for us. Listen, the more you work out a muscle, the stronger that it gets. The more that you work out the resurrection power within you, the stronger it gets. The power is still the strongest, right? The power doesn't actually change, but how strong it is in you will increase the more that you work it out, that you exercise it. Why do we press so hard toward this goal of being Christ-like right here and right now? He says, because there is a prize, right? We press hard toward this goal because there's a prize involved. You know what that prize is? It's being Christ-like in heaven, right? It's being fully like him, that made complete part like him in heaven. This is the prize. When we do get to completion, to perfection, we have to remember Jesus said life and life more abundant, right? That means here now, but also in eternity. And what greater prize is there to be had? That's the prize we get when we press toward the goal. He says that there's an upward call. It's the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, this upward call, this invitation to be in his presence forever. Hallelujah. We're invited to forever with Jesus. Just run the race. It's all you've got to do. Run that race. Find joy in pressing forward. Find joy in not looking back, because it has a great goal, but it has an even greater prize. I mean, hallelujah. You get a good life now, but you get life with Jesus forever. It doesn't get any better than that. He says in verse 15, let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. If you're mature, right? If you are strong spiritually, then you should think this way. You should understand, right? This is a sign of your spiritual maturity. And that's not bad if you're not spiritually mature. It just means that you're at a different place and you're pushing in toward a different, or at a different pace. But we should understand here. We should have this mind that our focus is on Jesus. Our focus is on pressing toward that prize. But it starts with the goal of being like him here now. This is that sign of maturity. Holy Spirit, what's next? Okay, when do you want me to go? How do you want me to do it? How do I get there? There should be excitement about it, right? God's not done with you yet. Somebody say hallelujah, right? I mean, I'm pretty thankful God's not done with me yet. I'm still pretty far from perfect and far from perfection, completion. But he says that God is just getting started, right? He's not done with you yet. He's got more to do. And if you think otherwise, if you disagree with that, if you're a person that likes to continually look back and you want to hang on to that and you don't want to let go of that, if you want to cling to that one thing that happened in your past, whether it's good or bad, if that's where your mind goes, he says, God will reveal even this to you. He will reveal this to you, right? If you don't believe me, God will reveal it to you that this is the way, right? The way is forgetting what is behind and reaching toward what is ahead of you. He'll reveal it to you. He will uncover it, is what that means. The Holy Spirit will unveil it. He will take the cover off of it. It's like, it's not your fault necessarily that you can't see it. Maybe it's a little covered up and he'll say, here it is. Look at it. It's right here in front of you. I will show it to you. John 16, 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Say, all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will, what? Tell you things to come. Wow. So it's the Holy Spirit that tells us the things to come. Here I am trying to, in my own power, my own will, again, with my own abilities, I'm trying to ignore what's behind. I'm trying to reach toward what is in front of me. But it's the Holy Spirit who tells me what's in front of me. He's the Spirit of truth. He knows all things. He will tell us the truth, and he will show us what is to come. How many of you want to know what's to come? I mean, hallelujah, pour it on. I want to know everything. You know, he's probably not going to tell you everything, but I want to know everything. It's that grabbing hold again thing. He'll tell you things to come. If you want to know things to come, okay, I'm going to tell you, don't go to Miss Cleo, right? Don't go to people who can read cards, who can do all these things. I'm going to tell you, those things are rooted in the doctrine of demons. They are. That's true. It's biblical. Okay? I don't care if they've gotten some things right. Okay? I'm going to tell you that it's deception and it's the doctrine of demons. If you want to know things to come, you've got to look forward to Christ and Christ alone, because it is by the power of his Spirit that you will know the truth and that you will be able to see what's ahead of you. And it's only by him. I'm going to tell you that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And you can automatically deduct from that that all other spirits are liars. Any other spirit that is not the Holy Spirit is a liar. He is the Spirit of truth. you're mature, look forward. If you think otherwise, pray that God uncover this truth for you today. He has great things in store for you. Verse 16, wrapping up, he says, "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind." If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, to the degree that you have already attained, wherever you're at right now, however you got there, however you reached it, he says, walk by the same rule, be of the same mind. So how did you get there? How did you get where you're at? Faith in Jesus. It all comes back to faith in Jesus. Don't ever depart from that. Don't ever try to find something else to get you there faster, to answer a question that maybe God hasn't revealed yet. You can't ever go past that. It all comes back to faith in Jesus. Don't depart from that. It says continue in the same rule. Continue in the same line of thinking. What got me to where I am right now? Faith in Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the Spirit of the living God dwelling within me. That's what got me to where I'm at right now, and I can never forget that. That's the thing that you don't leave behind, because even though it may have happened in your past, it's the thing that's continually ahead of you, because our focus is on him, and the Spirit is a Spirit that leads, not pushes. Do you know that? This is how you can tell the difference between the enemy and between God. God doesn't push you in the back. He stands in front of you and says, come this way. Come over here. This is where I want you to go. And the enemy says, go, go. You have to go that way. No, you have to go that way. You have to do this. I don't want to. Do it anyway. God stands in front and says, follow me. Come on, I'll take you to the right place. I'll take you to the right thing. This rule that we've been saved by faith through grace, a work from Jesus on the cross, that our penalty for our sin was paid in full. Right? We've got to come back to that. We've got to come back to the fact that he was risen from the dead so that we could have new life in him and have eternity. Right? He didn't just want us to live life as forgiven and that be the end of it. He wants us to accept that upward call. The upward call to know him, to be shaped and molded by him into his image while we are here. But then also to join him in heaven one day, apart from all suffering and all pain. Can I get an amen? I mean, I'm ready for that day. No pain, no suffering. Can you press on toward that? Can you press toward that this morning? Don't be satisfied with where you're at. That's all I'm asking this morning. Don't be satisfied. I also want to tell you that I can't give you more. I want to tell you that your spouse can't give you more. Your friend can't give you more. The Holy Spirit gives you more. But he says you reach forward for it. You have to reach out and you have to grab it. You have to obtain it. Don't be satisfied with where you've been. Don't be satisfied with where you're at. But press forward and keep your eyes open to where you're going. Won't you stand with me this morning? Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. And God, where would we be without you? Lord, I pray that you would reveal to us and show each and every one of us right now. Lord, help us to remember how we got to where we are. Help us to return to our first love, as you told the church in Revelation, to return to your first love. Lord, if we've forgotten that, if we've gotten busy with life, if we've gotten complacent in thinking that I'm saved and that's enough for me, Lord, I pray that you would break our hearts right now. That the presence and the power of your Spirit would bring conviction on our heart. That longing, that desire for more of you, God, because what more do we need in this world? Everybody in this room is blessed. Everybody in this room, we live in America, we have more than what we need. Most of us have a bunch of stuff that we want that we don't need. Lord, it's not about things, it's about you. God, we need your presence. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. We ask you to speak to our hearts this morning, that you would draw us close to you, that you would give us that desire, that motivation, that gumption to submit our lives to you and to press forward into all that you have for us. Spirit of truth, we just ask that you would speak to us right now, that you would draw us. It's your goodness that draws us to repentance. Let us feel the power and the presence of your love right now. God, as you speak things to our heart and our mind, we pray that we don't feel unsettled as though we have condemnation from the enemy, but we feel encouraged and convicted to change, to hand things over, to give you the keys, to give you all that we are and all that we have, because you want more for us. We thank you that you're not done with us yet and that you have greater things in store. And so, Lord, we submit our lives to you right now. We say, Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to open up the altars at this time. And if you want to seek the Lord and lay things down on your own, please do. And if you want somebody to pray with you, come forward and I'd be happy to do that as well.